So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Leviticus, chapter 17. Leviticus, chapter 17. Leviticus, chapter 17. Third book in your Bible. And I want to talk to you about life in the blood this morning. Praise God. Let's read the scriptures in Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat any blood. Father, I thank you, God, for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord Jesus, we can't fail to thank you for your precious blood that was spilled out on Calvary because you loved us so much. You paid the price for our sin, the death penalty. You died in our place. Thank you, Lord, and I pray your anointing of your spirit, God, upon the ministry of the word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Some Lord. Few years ago in my lifetime and yours, but still a few years ago, a young woman wrote a song, and then her brother read it and didn't think it was worth keeping, so he put it in the trash. And then his sister picked up it out of the trash and began to read the words to it and said, I think this will work. We can make a song out of this. And that was Andre Crouch and Sandra Crouch, his sister. And the song is, The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power. It's a mighty song. Praise the Lord. Had made it to the hymn book. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I'm thankful that the blood will never lose its power. As we read in Scripture here, God is dealing with the Israelite people and instructing them as they went into the land of Canaan. And the lifestyle of the Canaanites was extremely awful. And it called out for God's judgment. And there is a time when sin rises to the level that it calls for God's judgment. And God's judgment is very severe at times. Amen. But there's a lot of things that characterized Canaanite practices. Some I hate to name, but some that are in with us today in our own society. So I will. Adultery, incest, bestiality, homosexuality, child sacrifice were some of the practices that God had forbidden Israel to accept when they entered Canaan's land. They were supposed to be a people that were set aside for God's purpose and plan, and not to be in activity of any of the sins of the Canaanites. And as I name these, you can say, well, they were bad. Yes, they were. But are we any better in society today? In the modern discussion of killing half-born babies or fully born babies, the choice to be made by a mom or a doctor or both, I want to tell you something that's nothing less than Canaanite practice. Let me say it straight and clear from the pulpit. Life begins at conception. And it's not our purpose or God's purpose or God's plan ever for us to take human life into our own hands. God decides when life begins and ends, not us. And the Creator, God, He's in charge of life when it begins and ends, God alone. But the world that we live in, sinful world, carnal world that we live in, is one that is characterized, has a history of bloodshed. There have been numerous wars throughout history and throughout time, and there have been shedding of blood, and there's been shedding of innocent blood. And do I understand all why God allowed all of that to happen? Let me just say this before we say that God allowed it. Let me tell you, it's the product of sinful humanity is the reason it happens. Amen. And God hates the shedding. He tells us in Scripture He hates the shedding of innocent blood. And innocent blood cries out for justice. And God is a God of justice. We hear that God is a God of love, and He is. But God loves so much that he intends to give justice upon this earth. There will be a day when justice is made everywhere, given everywhere. Every wrong will be made right when God returns and God sets up his kingdom on this earth. I want to tell you something. When Christ sets up his millennial kingdom on this earth, he'll rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years. Praise God. And right now, he should rule and reign in the heart of the believer. Amen. But it makes me want to ask the question, how close is the world to a final judgment? And there will be one. God, there's been one other global judgment. That is with Noah's flood, when God judged all the earth and would have judged all of mankind and killed all of mankind had it not been for Noah and his family. And there's one reason Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a God-fearing man in the midst of a godless society. But yet God spared him. That's the reason you and I are alive today. You want to know where you came from? Noah. Amen. And so we wonder how close the world is to another global judgment. There will be one, this time not by water, but by fire. And all the elements will melt with a fervent heat, and all the works therein shall be burned up. And then God will create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, and only righteousness, and not sin. So, here in Scripture, we understand that blood, it means life. Natural blood gives life to both man and animal. It would take pure, sinless blood to atone for sin, and that could never be found in humanity, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It would take someone who had pure, sinless blood to atone for sin, and that could only happen if God became a man and God took on flesh and blood and let his blood atone for our sins. And so Christ, the Son of God, died for our sins. And something would have to take the sinner's place, not blood flowing in the veins of man, but shed blood is what it would take. Only death could pay for sin. The Word of God tells us that the wages of sin is death, and that's what death pays. That's what sin pays, is death. Amen. Complete eternal eternally away from the mercy, the absence of the mercy and love and grace of God. That's what sin does. And today we surely must draw near to God and ready to leave this world. We're going to leave it one day, church. Born again of God's Spirit, God sees your blood's clean. God sees your sins cleansed by the blood of Christ, and you'll go to heaven when Jesus calls. Amen. But let's look at it first. The natural life is in the blood. I don't think it takes a brilliant person to understand that. Verse 11 that we read of our text, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. Okay, and it's the blood is the agent that carries all the minerals and vitamins that your body needs to every cell of your body. You know, God knew what he was doing when he made the human body. And don't blame God for what all went wrong with it. Amen. God created it. God can fix it. Matter of fact, Jesus says, I have been given authority over all things in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:18. Amen. That means every cell of this human body, God has authority over. God can heal the sick. God can raise the dead. God can do anything he wishes to do because he has all authority. Amen. Also, the blood in your natural body carries out all the impurities. And I know that you'll look at your neighbor and say, well, you know, it needs to do a little better work on some of us. But without this, the body would become contaminated, poisoned, and develop disease. And it does many times. That doesn't mean it's always a spiritual problem, but it means that the body wears out after a while. And if you live long enough, you'll get old enough to realize the body does wear out after a while. Amen. Can I say this? Yes, okay. Amen. As you get older, this old hand you used to discipline your kids with don't spank as good. Matter of fact, when you're a grandparent, don't spank at all. You send them back to daddy and mama. Okay. So we know that the body, I don't know if that was a good illustration. Anyway, made you laugh. But with the blood of Jesus applied by faith, we become, to us, as we become contaminated with sin, the sin is taken away as the blood of Christ is applied to our life. And if we can become so contaminated with sin we don't have room for Jesus in our life, then the spiritual man begins to die, becomes contaminated with impurities, and it dies spiritually. And without the blood of Christ, all that's left is sin and death and a world and a nation of violence and cruelty and demon-inspired behaviors that sin produces. That's all that's left without the blood of Christ. Death and eternal separation from love, hope, mercy, and compassion and peace. I cannot imagine eternity with no peace, no compassion, no hope, no love. Because you see, that's what hell will be. Yes, I believe in the literal burning hell, but also it will be the absence of everything that's... You look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians... Is it in Galatians? 5, 22 and 23. There won't be any of that in hell. Love, joy, and peace, compassion, tenderness, mercy, kindness, love. There won't be any of that in hell. It'll be right the opposite. But I can tell you something, my friend. When the blood of Jesus is applied to a person's life, it gives... love. You experience the love of God. You experience hope, knowing that He is our blessed hope. And He gives us compassion. He gives us peace, amen, concerning where we're going to spend forever. And I'm glad that we have peace in our souls, going to have peace in knowing that if I leave this world today, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus. I can't produce that. I can't give that. No church, no denomination, no religion can give that. But I can tell you, by the blood of Christ, He can give it and does give it. Amen. The Bible tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so, in the natural, the blood also gives life and movement to all the muscles. And most of us of age wish we had more movement. Amen. But without the blood, the body becomes stiff, dead, and without movement. Amen. You can compare that to the church if you want to, but if you don't want the blood of Christ preached about in the church, that church will become stiff and dead without movement. We must have the blood of Christ for there to be life here. Amen. And a life that never preaches, sings, or talks about the shed blood of Jesus, it becomes stiff and formal and dead with no message to save lives or eternal judgment. Let me tell you something, friend. I'm not here to brag on our congregation here or a denomination, but when we pray for one another, man, thank God we believe God can do something about it. And God has done so many things about it. So many times we cannot deny that God doesn't answer. He does answer prayer. He's concerned about you personally. He's concerned about all of us. He cares what happens to you. Hallelujah. As a compassionate Savior would care. And He does. Praise the Lord. You know, spiritual life is in the blood of Jesus. We know that physical life is in the natural blood that flows through our body. But Jesus' blood fulfilled all Old Testament sacrifices. And you read a lot about them in the book of Leviticus. Amen. You can read about all the sacrifices that were made there, and they all pointed to the cross, where that Jesus would fulfill all Old Testament blood sacrifices. Because they were just something that was going to happen that would atone for sin or push sins further on down the line until the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, could come and give His life and atone for sin. Okay? Verse 11 here in our text. I have given you the blood upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. Okay? The blood upon the altar. And they say, what does the altar have? There was an altar where that there was an animal sacrifice offered. It wasn't a pretty place. It was always full of blood. And it always had fresh blood because people were always sinning and needed another sacrifice to take care of it. And it would atone for the sins or push the sins on further down until the perfect Lamb of God would come along. And He did. And so the altar was not a pretty place. And that was fulfilled in Christ. Really, there was a last altar. I thank God for altars in the church. That represents prayer. We pray. We seek God. You know, the altar itself is of no value as far as the wood and the carpet that goes on it, whatever it is. But it's a place we kneel and we say, God, we're surrendering to you. And when we kneel in prayer, we're surrendering to God at this altar. But really, the last altar that there was a cross where Jesus was sanctified or sacrificed. And John the Baptist sees Jesus coming one day and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He points to Jesus and says, that's really the Lamb of God. That's the one that's going to fulfill all animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. The blood that was shed and all the old sacrifices will never compare with the blood of the Lamb of God, Christ, as he comes. Praise the Lord. And so we know that Jesus is a fulfillment of all Old Testament sacrifice. And there he was offered up on the cross. And the cross was not a pretty place. Amen. We have beautiful crosses now. You can buy crosses in stores that have silver and gold on them, or whatever you want on them. But I want to tell you something. The most valuable thing that ever hung up on a cross was the Lamb of God, was Christ. And it was a bloody place because there he poured out his soul into death. He shed his blood. He gave up his life. He poured out his soul into death because he loved me. He loved you. And he wanted something to be done for our sins so that we could enter heaven with him forever. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let me tell you something. Because of the blood of Christ, if you're a Christian today, but because of the blood of Christ, if you are chosen, you're adopted, you're accepted, you're redeemed, have an inheritance in heaven, or sealed with the Holy Spirit of power. I mean, Ephesians chapter 1, you can find all of that. Praise the Lord. And God did an awful lot for us. He did everything for us when he went to the cross, sent his son to the cross for us. And we can come near God because of the blood of Christ. You cannot approach God without blood. You say, well, do I have to cut myself? No. Not that. Without the blood of Jesus, faith in what he did on the cross. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, who you once who were afar off, meaning far away from God in sin, who are far off, have been made near by the blood of Christ. So, spiritual life is in the blood of Jesus. And you cannot really even have peace of mind without the blood of Jesus. Amen. Being applied by faith to your heart. Colossians 1:20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Amen. And you can be at peace with God, at peace with eternity. Amen. At peace instead of fear in your life, because I know if anything happens, if the world caves in and everything explodes, I'm with Jesus. You're with Jesus. Amen. Spirit man will leave this physical body and be with Christ forever, and all the life that's in you will be with Christ. Whatever happens, that's peace that God, only God, can give. And also, the spiritual life and the blood of Jesus, the blood reminds us that we are purchased, bought. Amen. And we were slaves of sin, but now we become servants of righteousness when we are born again of God's Spirit. And the price for our sins was the blood of Christ, and it was paid in full, and no unpaid account, but it was all paid for by Christ. And we sing the song, thank God, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Amen, it was paid in full. Praise God. And it says that in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Anything silver and gold can buy is corruptible and perishable. Amen. You say, well, not if it's gold or silver. Yes, it can. Because knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, according to the vain tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot or without blemish. Because you see, a price of silver or gold or any amount of currency in this world, amen, cannot compare with the blood of Christ. Nothing could replace Christ in any way. No blood ever shed, because it was sinless, pure, holy blood, sin without sin. And so that's the reason we preach on the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but unto us who are being saved it is the power of God. Amen. So we know that without the blood of Jesus being preached, the church becomes stiff, dead, and formal without life. And I've been in a few such services. When I was just starting out preaching last year, plus 33, I was in a church in a particular town, and, you know, they called me to preach there, and I preached on something. I forget what I preached on that, and I think the people probably forgot too, but I preached on something anyway. It was hard to preach. I mean, it was just, there's something there that I couldn't, you know, I couldn't just let go and preach. Man, I know I'm called to do that, but anyway, I couldn't have any freedom to preach what at all. And then I found out later why it was so hard to preach there. The pastor's not this church. The pastor's wife was having an affair with a deacon in the church. There was sin in that place. Amen. I didn't know it at the time. Or I could have directed my sermon a little more, made it a little more direct. But I was young, and I didn't, and I didn't know it anyway. But you see, when we come under the blood of Christ, it has to deal with a sin in our heart. And if there's something wrong, then God can bring it up, and God can help you deal with it, and God can give you victory, and God can give you forgiveness. And the blood of Jesus Christ is not still in his veins. It was shed. It was poured out on Calvary's hill because our sin incurred the death penalty and had to be shed blood. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness. Man. Number three. God has given us the blood of his son, and it's known as the doctrine of substitution. Substitutionary death of Christ on the cross is a major doctrine of Scripture. And sin demands a death penalty, for all of sin falls short of the glory of God. But Jesus bore our sins on the Calvary. Amen. And it tells us that God has laid upon his son the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53:6 tells us that. And all of us guilt, all the shame, all the heartache, all the guilt that comes with sin, it all fell upon Christ at the cross. What a heavy load to bear. Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace. With his stripes we are healed, but all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. Oh, what a heavy load. You felt guilty over things you've done or said before. Man, I'm not going to ask for a testimony service, but you felt guilty before. Jesus bore all the guilt of every individual upon the face of this planet, or some 7 billion of us now. That is a heavy load. And that was more painful to him than all the stripes and all of the hard, painful things that went through with a crucifixion. That was worse than a crown of thorns that he had, and the nails that pierced his hand and feet, and the spear that pierced his side. All of the weight of the sins and the guilt was heavy upon him, because you see, he never sinned. Jesus did. He had no guilt, but he bore mine and he bore yours. It was an awful price, huge price that he paid on Calvary for you and I to go free and be declared not guilty in the presence of God. So it was not the blood upon the altar that made the difference, really. It was not the blood in the veins, but the blood on the altar of the cross that atones for sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Jesus, when he came into this world, he knew why he had come. He came to shed his own blood in our place. He did not come to become the most popular evangelist. He didn't have a Bible to sell with his name written on it. Amen. I got to admire it some. Hand it to them, some people. Sign your name on a Bible and sell a $25 Bible for $100. Whatever. nor do I have anything against people who sell a Bible in a genuine ministry. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus did not come to gain popularity, could have. He really did not come to gain the attention of humanity except in the sense of dealing with their sin. And when Jesus preached, he told the truth. As a matter of fact, he took the Old Testament law and explained and expounded upon it and tell them what it really meant. Amen. And it convicted many people. But you see, when he was born, when he lived, when he came to the age of knowing things as a human, he knew he would have a crown of thorns upon his head. He knew it wouldn't be a crown pronouncing him as a king. He knew there would be nails in his hands. He knew there would be a spear piercing his side. He knew he would give his life, all of his life, knowing that at the end he would give himself upon the cross for sinful humanity. And yet he never turned away. He never turned back one step short of Calvary's hill. He loved you. He loved me. He knew that something must be done about the sin problem in the world. He knew there had to be atonement made. He knew there had to be payment made, or nobody in God's creation, mankind created in his own likeness and image, not one of them would enter heaven if he did not make a plan of redemption for us. And if he did not fulfill the command of his Father, and that was to go all the way to the cross and to bear our sins. Amen. So without the blood of Christ, no payment for sin, no forgiveness, no deliverance, no eternal life, no reason to live. And so Christ did what he did for us. But you see, in us, until our pride is broken, till the will of man is broken, there can be no deliverance from the penalty of sin and no eternal life without the blood of Christ. But my friend, when we express faith in what Jesus did on the cross, faith in his blood that was shed, there is wonderful news, the good news, the only good news there is, and that is Jesus took our place on Calvary, poured out his soul into death, and he loves you and I with a never-ending love. When we acknowledge our sins and the blood of Jesus shed in our place, then the death penalty is taken from us, and Jesus took the judgment for our sins on the cross. Or else we would all be judged eternally. But yet Jesus took the judgment for us. The judgment of the cross fell upon us, fell upon him. The blood is appropriated by faith when it, and when we partake of the communion this morning, which we'll do shortly, real shortly, the reason this was instituted, the Lord's Supper, and we partake of the bread and the Welch's grape juice, we are continually reminded of what it took and the price that was paid for us to be forgiven, loved, and saved from judgment. Because every stripe that Jesus took on his body, cut flesh hanging from his body in strips, was for us. Christ, the bread of life, was broken for you and I. Partake of the juice. It represents the blood, life-giving blood, that Jesus allowed to pour from his body to atone for sin. Not just any blood, but precious blood, his blood. And so with the shedding of blood and with Christ's blood, there is atonement, there's forgiveness for the deepest, darkest stains of sin there is or you've ever heard of or imagined. And I hear a lot of things that are going wrong, a lot of sinful practices today. I cannot believe that any one human being would do such a thing to another human being. But yet Jesus covered those sins. As a matter of fact, Jesus saved the worst persecutor of the church, the apostle Saul of Tarsus, who became the apostle Paul. God saved him when he was guilty of putting Christians in jail and in prison and voted for their death. But yet he met the Christ on the Damascus Road, and his life was changed forever, and the blood of Jesus made him clean. And he turned completely around, served God, preached the gospel, wrote a great part of our New Testament. That's what God can do. That's how far the mercy of God can go. That's how great and how high and how low the blood of Jesus can reach. The highest mountain to the lowest valley. It's the blood that atones for the soul. Amen. It is the blood that atones for sin.